can penetrate anything and anyone.
The juice is loose. Welcome to the Power Trip Morning Show.
31% eat the tip.
I can't wait to eat you.
Certainly not.
Welcome to the Bets and Quotes podcast.
And if you want to ruin Minneapolis, go ahead. I don't care.
It's for you.
Our guy Power Trip bets every time he goes, he rents a car. So he must pay for a lot of parking.
That's pretty good supposition.
Who would want to drive in Vegas, though? He does.
Really? Yeah, why? Where is he going?
Circa. He rents
a car.
He likes
to go out to the T-word shows.
Yeah, I wasn't going to say it, but he likes to go to the T-word show.
The Funny Ranch.
Yeah.
Everybody knows all the talent in Vegas is off the strip.
Yeah, damn right, man.
He gets free parking at the T-word shows.
He likes stretch marks.
You're listening to the Bets and Quotes podcast on whatever podcast platform you're listening on.
Well, I've said it before. I'll say it again. You guys do a hell of a job. Thank you. We appreciate it very much.
Even Chuck said.
Chuck said it doesn't necessarily mean it's fact.
Good old Chuck.
Yeah, good old Chuck.
It's for you.
Yeah, Betts, I hear you, but I'm picking up a lot of noise in the background. Where are you? What's going on?
Sorry, man. I thought I'd be ready to tell the podcast by now, but I'm in Vegas, I'm out here. Well, I'll be honest with you, Smitty. I'm at Juicy Lucy's Titty Bar and Seafood Buffet.
Wow. Are you there by yourself, or do you have someone with you?
Well, there's a group of us out here, a bunch of former employees. I got a superstar out here. Really the reason I wasn't able to make the start of the podcast on time is we're out here with Fusey. He just won't leave. He's sitting front row, and he's really pissed because there's no pregnant chicks out here.
Wow. That's interesting. This is a little surprising to me. Have you met any of the employees where you're at? Any of the people working there? Do you have any names?
Well, there's this guy named Lax, and he's got a huge afro, and he's hooking up with every chick out here. I don't know. He says he has some relatives back in Minneapolis, but he's pretty cool. He's DJing out here. He's a pretty cool dude. He's actually the one that told me the seafood buffet is really good.
Is that right? You having lots of clams and oysters there?
Yeah, quite a few. I'll tell you, the selling point here is the crabs. They've got crabs coming out of their ears and that buffet.
This is great, Betts, but, we've got a podcast to do. Are you going to be able to do a podcast with me today?
I asked Superstar to drag. I mean, Superstar's still the Superstar, man. I asked him to drag Doobie out of there, but he just can't get the dude to move. So, let me just step outside here.
All right. God, that place is loud in there, and man, Doogie would just not move. All right, I think I'll be able to do the podcast now. I'm getting a good signal here, so let's get rolling. Sound good?
Sounds good. It's 9 in the morning as we're recording this. I'm wondering, how were you out all night there?
Well, it's 7 in the morning here, and yes. Absolutely. All right, well, let's get to... This is the dedication we have to our listeners of this stupid podcast we're devoted and dedicated, and damn it, a podcast beats a titty bar any day of the week. So let's get rolling. Hey, you know what else beats a titty bar any day of the week? It's doing some fun fantasy sports with your friends. I think that's one of the things I love. I'm in so many different leagues with so many different groups of people, and it's a lot of fun. And the one that we started this year on a totally experimental basis, because I'm so addicted to Survivor football, is Survivor Baseball. And it actually starts a week from today, Smitty. Baseball season is right around the corner.
That sounds crazy to me. I know we had a couple of games in Korea this week, but it's not even on my radar yet with March Madness going on. I'm glad you said something, or I probably would have forgotten to send you my teams for Saturday.
Absolutely, yes. And if you guys want to join, the deadline is 11 a.m. on Saturdays. to get your picks in, and then I'll publish what everybody's picks are so you can kind of follow along and see who survives and who gets killed each week. But yeah, just DM me on Twitter and I will send you all the details. It's just $10 to join the league. We actually have celebrity in the league. We have Mr. Z has joined our Survivor Baseball League. So you can play Survivor Baseball with Mr. Z, which, you know, the more I think about it, I seriously think the man's just a Russian operative and this whole movie thing is just a cover.
I can't argue. There's a lot of evidence pointing to what you're saying there.
I'm on to him. So, but you know, even the Russians like baseball. So, yeah, you can play a little Survivor Baseball with us. Like I said, just DM me. DMs are open. So just hit me up. Tell your friends. I'm hoping to put together a fun little crew. And try out Survivor Baseball and see how it goes. Just one pick a week, so you don't have to worry about doing this every single day. It's just every Saturday, so should be fun. And the other one that's fun, the other little fun crew we've got going, is our fantasy hockey Patreon crew. We are headed to the playoffs. I am so locked into the number two seed. I have been like in the number two slot for like 4 months at this point. Josephine is dominating our league. She's going to go in as the number one seed. I think Hussey's number three, and I forget who's the four seed. Smitty, I don't think you're going to the playoffs.
No, I just missed it this year. I had a rough season, came on strong at the end. In fact, I think I might win this last week for my fourth win of the year. But I think Shohei Ohtani's interpreter quote sums me up right now. I'm terrible at gambling, never going to do it again, never won any money.
Oh, my God. that case. Oh, like I tweeted out, like the news was like 2 hours old and I was already ready for a documentary series about it on Netflix. I'm like, I cannot wait. There is so many layers to it and so many conspiracy theories. Cannot wait to get to the truth. And how do you lose $4.5 million, dude? He obviously doesn't know about Bet the Road team in the hockey playoffs. I'm telling you. So fun time of year. Yes. March Madness, the brackets, Survivor Baseball, fantasy hockey playoffs, Bet the Road teams right around the corner. We got the Masters, the Vegas trip for the Power Trips coming up. I mean, just so much going on. It's such a great time of the year for sports. I am so excited about it. And that's a perfect segue into the Bets update.
Partridge Pods.
All right. Well, first up, got to talk about Core versus Four. Only two of the regulars took Corey up on it this year because, you know, it's a very wide open year and we've seen lots of upsets in the first 2 days of the NCAA tournament. So really only Rosie and Sauce took him up on it. So far, they're still alive. They're still doing okay because Sauce avoided taking his Kentucky Wildcats. That would have been a loss. And Rosie, you know, He went way out on a limb with Marquette. I mean, absolute underdog, no chance at all that Marquette could ever win this thing. And they almost got eliminated in the first round. So Rosie really dodged a bullet with the absolute long shot pick of Marquette that he took as a number two seed. I mean, I don't think a number two seed has ever won the NCAA tournament, if I remember right.
That may be true. I don't know that. I know we've had some three seeds and I believe an eight seed has won it, but that's interesting that a two has never won it.
Yeah, it's unbelievable that Rosie would go on that much of a limb to take a two seed. So pretty amazing. I will say too, I offered up the Bets versus Four to our Patreon crew as well. I had a few people take me up on it, way more than Corey had taken him up on it. And, you know, I have to say after the, you know, quite a few upsets in the first couple of rounds, a couple of the big dogs went out. Smitty, you are the only one with all four teams still remaining. So congratulations to you. You're sort of the leader in the clubhouse in the Bets versus Four.
Is that right? Did you have some people taking Kentucky and Auburn or something?
Kentucky and who was the other one? Somebody took, I'm blanking on it. It was a somewhat obscure team that lost early. I'm trying to remember who it was.
You're trying to think of that, I'll mention that I think probably the best thing in the world for Corey would be if Connecticut wins it this year. Cause then he only loses the two bets, but then he's got the ammunition going into next year saying, hey, I got swept last year. Let's do this, and maybe he gets more people to participate.
I think so. I think that's a good good conspiracy theory to get him there, or maybe Purdue actually gets it done or something, you know. But I'd be shocked at that. But yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, just be like, hey, every year, and I offer it up every single year. That's the thing. Of all the people that, you know, I'll give Lieber a break because he wasn't in this year. He usually does it, but you know, all the people that normally do it just sort of backed out. No, I don't like it this year. Well, that's not really how it works. But oh well. Good luck to everyone. Good luck to you, Smitty. I'm proud of you, man. You're the leader in the clubhouse. So good good job there. We had history yesterday in the initials game. Meat Sauce won, and of course that made him the all-time wins leader. But more importantly, from a betting angle, we're gonna hit the over on 61,500 as the over/under for the initials jackpot. That bet was placed over 2 years ago. It was like February of 2022 is when they placed that bet. And yeah, a little over 2 years later, the over hits. It's going to be at least 62,000 when they're at TI next week. So that makes the over 1-2 against the under, because obviously the other two both hit on the under. I really think 61.5 is a damn good number for the over under. And I think this longer stretch here is kind of proving that out. I think I think it's pretty close to being the right number. Smitty, your thoughts?
Well, case in point, we're witnessing it right now. This one hits the over. It's hit the under previously. I agree with you. I know that you put a little mathematical analysis into it, and the probability of different numbers, or sorry, different letters comes into play as you're doing that. But I think it's a good number.
Yep. So we'll see how far this goes. And keep in mind, you know, Corey likes to say probability has no memory. It's true. You know, you flip a coin heads 10 times in a row, it's still 50-50 that you're going to flip heads or tails on the 11th flip. So, if you were starting a brand new bet today, the correct over under right now of when the jackpot goes off would be $123,000. Cause I'm sure there's a lot of people, oh, it'll never get there. But I mean, that's, you know, if you're doing a brand new bet today, that is actually the right number. So, very interesting. If it gets close to six figures, it's going to be absolute insanity. I just wish I could get through one time. So we'll see.
Also, I think it's funny that immediately after paying off this 2 year bet, they turned it around with a double or nothing.
Oh, I know. I mean, like, we waited 2 years for this, and Zach called it out. He was like, "You only bet $100 on a long term bet." So yeah, good for Zach for having that radar up. The last bet I want to talk about was the Sauce bet, where he bet Lieber that the Vikings would trade up to 4 or 5 to get ahead of the Giants and draft a quarterback. Pretty bold bet by Sauce. And keep in mind that this was before the news came out that the Vikings had traded with the Houston Texans to get the 23 pick. So that definitely swings things much more in Sauce's favor, that they're going to use that 11 and 23 picks to bump up in the draft to 4 or 5. So maybe a pretty good call from Sauce. I think this one's pretty much an even bet at this point.
Yeah, I could go either way on this one, too.
For sure. So, of course, typical Vikings, somebody will leapfrog them and take J.J. McCarthy, and then we'll be stuck with 11 and 23. They'll draft a defensive lineman and a cornerback, and then the next day you'll be like, this was our plan all along. These were the two guys that we can't believe they fell to 11 and 23. I'm like, God, I hate GM speak this time of year. I literally, whatever a GM says, I immediately assume the opposite is true every single time. I don't believe a word out of anybody's mouth, so. Especially this time of the year. Ugh, so much fun. Hope we get a quarterback, but we'll see. So good luck to Sauce. All right, that will do it for the bets update. Let's get to those quotes.
And now it's time for the quotes of the week.
I'd let Brett Favre be on me.
Sure.
Ted Bundy's been to the Rose Bowl more recently than the Gophers.
Because it's hard to bang and play it at the same time.
Banging lung darts whale.
All right. For our three quotes this week, we actually had a few to pull from. Lots of great quotes over the last couple of weeks. But number three comes in with a little bit of self-deprecating humor from Tommy Olsen.
He was ejected from that game when he punched a Gopher lineman in the groin.
Oh, my God.
Do you remember this guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, he's now a Viking. You remember this story?
It wasn't your groin, right?
No, he had to be surgical with that punch. Oh.
You were in the flip.
God, I love those quotes from Tommy. All I'm picturing when he uses the term surgical is like I'm picturing like the operating room with all the doctors and nurses standing around and someone going like microscope, microscope, tweezers, tweezers. All right, sir, you're ready to punch.
That's amazing. And yes, it was just that it stood out for me when I heard this quote. I was getting ready for work and he just came in with that phrase surgical punch and it just made me laugh out loud.
Oh, it was brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. And it's funny that like because I thought for sure when they mentioned that he would be like, oh yeah, and like, and it was kind of like he vaguely remembered it. Like to me that would be like a gigantic deal, and apparently maybe things like that are more routine than we know, but it was kind of funny that he was just kind of like, oh, yeah, I kind of do remember that.
Yeah, and you think all the games he played and all the different crazy stories he has, that something like that would probably not stand out among all those other memories.
Maybe so.
All right, well, coming in with our number two quote this week, this was in reference to a story about some interesting natural behavior by some beluga whales by Zach Halverson.
Oh. Well, how about the two humpback whales that made news just, last week, right? Last week they said they finally caught two humpback whales having sex on camera. Did you guys see this?
Saturdays with Sauce is back.
Did you see this month?
Oh, no, I did not. Was it in Lieber Spa?
That's pretty good.
Oh, well,
that's
the ocean. Good. So, yeah, technically okay. That's Lieber Spa. That's where Rosie went on a vacation. Not his honeymoon.
There's nothing better than a good old fashioned rip on Saturday on the co-host of Saturdays with Sauce.
Yes, it's wonderful, and usually they make reference to the guys on the motorcycles that yes. We all remember from our childhood flipping yes. through the Guinness Book of World Records.
Oh, it's so funny. Yeah, if you're of a certain age, it's like as soon as you say the motorcycle twins, you could totally see those two fat guys on their little motorcycles. So good. And that's what I love about Sauce and Nordo. They're so self-deprecating. They make such a great pair.
Yes. And for Zach to do it to them is a little bit of irony there. But they're all good sports about it, which is always fun.
Hilarious.
And of course, this brings us to our number one quote of the week this week. This was in reference to death and funerals, but Chris Hockey put an unusual twist on it.
I got a gig. I can't go to either one. My apologies. I'll send flowers to Pete Sauce's and a bag of feces to Corey's.
That is brilliant. And you know, I honestly don't know who to give credit to this quote of the week for, Hockey or Sauce, because that gut laugh really sells it.
Yeah, and there were a few quotes this week that the meat sauce gut laugh right after it kind of sold it for me. But that, what a wonderful quote. And you know, when feces are in play, it's usually not Corey that's mentioned, but of course Chris Hockey's dad. So I'm not sure. A little bit of a twist this week.
Yes, for sure. Yeah, it made me wonder if there was like a little bit of laughing gas leaking over my meat sauce's chair this week, because he had a lot of gut laughs this week, and he kept saying, Hawk, you're on fire.
Yes, and especially immediately after winning the initials game yesterday, it was, you know, it was Ray Romano has a bit where if he did stand up in front of a group of toddlers, you could just shake your keys and, you know, the audience would just love it. And I feel like that was kind of where Meat Sauce was. Anything Hockey said was going to get the gut laugh.
Absolutely. And when he was playing the bit from the Beetlejuice trailer, the juice is loose. Like all he had to do was hit that button and Sauce was gut laughing every single time. So good.
Yeah, I don't understand that one. It's not even that funny, but it got him.
It gets him every time.
It's time for the weekly segment of Your Thoughts. Copyright Dark Star.
All right. Well, this week in Your Thoughts, we're going to kick things up. You already got a quote of the week from Zach, but you got to have a Zach snack, right? Here we go.
Or a way to get the fire department to the scene somehow with their big ladders.
John, enough.
Wait, isn't John on your team?
Wouldn't you like
I think he's on Zach's team.
Oh.
If the firefighters are coming.
Zach! Look at Zach.
Let go.
Oh, Zach. You gotta have some firefighters.
Yep, at John Bonus's expense a little bit there. That was Zach has been on a roll. I'm really going to miss him next week.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a shame he's going to be out next week, but hopefully he'll come back with some good material. It's funny too because like I've got like a whole bunch of Zach Sacks stowed up, and it's like he keeps adding to the pile. Like I keep thinking, well, maybe there'll be a week where I don't have one and I'll have to dig into the pile, but yeah, it just keeps growing and growing. He always seems to deliver. All right, Smitty, well, you brought up they brought up on the power trip this week the 98 Vikings versus the 09 Vikings, and you thought that would be a good fodder for the old podcast, a good old fashioned sports debate on a podcast, right? We don't have any live sports going on right now, so I can't give you any score updates. So let's do a good old fashioned sports debate. So why don't you set this up for us?
Yeah, so it was this week when John Carisel was in studio. Oh, and Tommy Olsen was there at the same time, which, always I'm listening for quotes when those two guys are on. But then just kind of organically, this big debate started up between the 1998 Vikings versus the 2009 Vikings and kind of which was the better team. And it was kind of split, and both sides were just adamant. Corey and Sauce were like, well, it's a no-brainer. But then Creasel and Hawk were kind of on the other side of the debate, so I thought it might be interesting for you and I to face off. So I'll propose. I know that you've always said you were a big fan of that 98 Vikings squad, so make your case, Betts.
Yeah, I think 98 was... There's a couple different ways to slice this, like which was actually the better team, like player by player, or which team, what was like a bigger crusher that they didn't make it to the Super Bowl 98 or 09. Either way, for me, it comes down to 98. That offense was insane. When you think that you not only did you have Randy Moss, I mean, because you think of like the offense on the 98 team and, you had a nice collection of receivers. You had Adrian Peterson and everything, but I'm talking Randy Moss, Chris Carter, and Jake Reed. For those of you that are too young to really remember Jake Reed in his prime, dude would have been a number one receiver on a lot of NFL teams. He was the number three receiver because Chris Carter and Randy Moss, both Hall of Famers, were that much better. It was insane. Randall Cunningham finished second in MVP voting in 98. Favre finished fourth. So, on the quarterback side, pretty even. It was the 1 year Robert Smith actually stayed healthy and dominated. We all knew he was capable of it, but injuries kind of plagued his career a little bit. But 98 was the year that he absolutely dominated. And that offensive line across the board, unbelievable. I mean, those five guys were just absolutely dominant, and that offense could do whatever it wanted to do. So the 98 offense versus 09, I mean, it's not even close. Defense, it's pretty similar, I think. You got your hot spots, your low spots on it. So on a player by player basis, I mean, I think it's a no-brainer. 98 is definitely the team, but I don't know. You want to defend 09?
Yeah, I will. Although I will mention, and this honestly just occurred to me. So I teach, and at the school where I teach, I was delivering something to a classroom, and Dave Dixon works at our school. And I've known that for so long, it didn't even occur to me, but I walked into a classroom and delivered something and just walked right by Dave Dixon, this mountain of a man. And he was definitely a big part of that team also. But I've got to say that the 09, like you mentioned, player for player versus best team, superstars, all that stuff. I just feel like the 09 team was a better team in that it faced more challenges and came through those challenges. I think about all the close games that they won, the Greg Lewis catch in the back of the end zone in week three from the quarterback that year, some guy named Favre, I think. But yeah, you had, like you were talking about the different line, offensive, defensive line, all that stuff. I mean, from top to bottom, you had the Williams Wall and Jared Allen. I would have forgot about Ray Edwards if Creasel hadn't mentioned it. But then you've got, of course, our friends Lieber and Chad Greenway. They were all part of that defense and just amazing defensively. I think that's something that 98, if you look at the stats, 98 had a great defense, but only because they were playing with that amazing offense. And so just the game flow kind of worked in their favor that year. Tight ends. The guys mentioned Shanko. I couldn't believe that Meat Sauce didn't mention his buddy Jim Kleinsaucer was a huge part of that 09 offense. And he's always been a personal favorite of mine. And then special teams. Tommy mentioned the special teams, you know, as kind of almost like a tiebreaker. Chris Cluey punting was a superstar that year. You had the dependable Ryan Longwell. And of course, Percy Harvin. Just what a spark plug, either on offense or special teams. Just such an amazing team to watch. And obviously, both of these teams, heartbreaking loss. But that 09 is, I'll never forget that, five turnovers and still almost winning and Bounty Gate and all that stuff that went along with it. Both great teams.
Absolutely haunting game. The other thing I will say in defense of 98 as well is that a couple things. Number one, the 09 team, they were 4-point dogs in New Orleans. So they were expected to lose by 4 points. The 98 team was 11.5-point favorites. So that is a gigantic swing in terms of expectations, which is part of why I still feel like 98 is so much more crushing. Because, I mean, not only were you expected to win, you were expected to destroy the Falcons and win that game. Whereas going into New Orleans, it was like, well, this would kind of be... And I still remember my feeling after the 09 game was kind of like, damn, we should have won that game. Whereas going into it, I was like, I don't know. I'm like, who knows? You know, chip cheering a chance kind of thing. But 98, it was like, we're winning. And the other thing is what happened afterwards. So 98, the Falcons went on to lose the Super Bowl to the Broncos. In 09, obviously the Saints went on to beat the Colts in the Super Bowl. So many people have it in their minds that, well, if we just won in 09, we would have won the Super Bowl. And if even if we had won in 98, we still would have lost the Super Bowl, which you cannot at all say that because teams absolutely match up differently. You see it all the time where, you know, somebody go, well, Green Bay beat Detroit, and Detroit beat Kansas City, so Green Bay is better than Kansas City. I'm like, it's not how it works in the NFL. There's unique game plans, there's matchups, there's all sorts of things. So the people that use that as their argument that 09 was more devastating, that's just flat out wrong.
So the transitive property does not apply?
Does not apply. But I love when people use that logic. But every game stands on its own. So as a guy that likes to bet, I can tell you the transitive property absolutely does not work, or everybody would bet that way. So, well, good debate. Good topic.
This is fun. I don't know if we settled anything here, but I know I'm more depressed than I was before we started.
And I love both those teams. It was fantastic rides, and I'm hoping we can get one of those sometime soon, but let's just bottom out for a year or two and then build something for like 2026. Right. So, all right. Well, the other topic that you brought up was the best concert you've been to, because they were talking about this a little bit on the power trip. I love talking about concerts, shows, different things you've been to. Now, what I don't want to have when we do this is I don't want us to do the Rosen where, because you're asking what's the best concert you've ever been to. The Rosen approach to this would be to list off 20 different concerts that he's been to and then finally come around to the one that, well, I guess this one's my favorite. And that's not what this is. This isn't what are the top 20 and then narrow it down to one. This is what is the best concert you've ever been to. So your idea, I'll let you go first, Smitty. What's the best concert you've ever been to?
Yeah, and I agree with you totally. I know this came from Chris Hockey going on a podcast, and now that I mention it, I need to go back and listen to it because I'd love to hear what his top four were, but it was this Mount Rushmore idea. What is your Mount Rushmore? But we're not going to do that here. I'm just going to mention my favorite concert ever. This was when I was in high school. I believe it was the day before the first day of school. I forget if it was my junior year or it must have been my senior year because this was in 1994. And I went to see Nine Inch Nails, which I was a huge fan of Nine Inch Nails. And so I hadn't been to a whole lot of real concerts before. And so this was super exciting for me. And man, it's 30 years ago. Well, I'm an old man at this point. But I'll never forget. We got there and we had terrible seats way up in the nosebleed section. And I was in the bathroom. I was sitting in the stall. And the opening act started up, and it was this kind of rhythmic pulsing thing that was going on. And I didn't recognize it at the time, but it was Marilyn Manson doing his opening to, I think the album was Portrait of an American Family, but they do this, the boat scene from Willy Wonka where what direction we're going and the rowers keep on rowing. Yep. And it's kind of this haunting, pulsing thing. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? So I finished up and I went up to my seats and I'd never even heard of Marilyn Manson before. And so he puts on this crazy show and just this wild. And I'm like, this is just the opening act. But then, we had terrible seats, but the strategy at the time, and again, this is 1994. It's a little different than it is now. We had a couple of guys who had floor tickets. And if you had more than one person with a floor ticket, eventually everyone in your group could work their way down to the floor because someone would leave the floor with a couple tickets in their pocket and then give it to a couple other people and you'd make your way down. And so eventually
Genius. We
were all down on the floor. Yeah. Yeah. And the second act was this little group called Hole with Courtney Love.
And
this was, this is September 1994. So Cobain had just died, a few months before this. Mm-hmm. And so she comes out. And again, I didn't know who Courtney Love was, but she puts on this energizing show. And at one point, this little kid walks out on the stage. I didn't know who it was, but of course, it was Frances Bean that was, Courtney Love's little girl. And I'll say, I was really up close to the stage at that point. And I 1994, the internet really wasn't a thing. So I learned some things about the female anatomy that I really didn't, hadn't seen a whole lot in live in person at that point. So that was amazing. And then of course the main show, Nine Inch Nails, the reason that I was there, and it just blew me away. Just the energy, being on the floor and we're just bouncing off each other. Mosh pits are developing and crowd surfing and all this crazy wild stuff. And the music was just fueling this amazing experience for me. And I won't mention a whole bunch of the different songs, but I just remember there's a deep cut from the Downward Spiral called Reptile. And I just remember being right next to the speaker, and it was just this fuel of power, and it was just unbelievable concert. There we go. That's my best concert ever.
Wow, that's really cool. That's a hell of a lineup, like you said. And then just the whole, being on the floor and all the energy and everything like that. That's pretty fantastic, especially given your age too. Cause I'm like, that'd be pretty cool if you're like 32 and this has been your band or whatever. But, like as a young kid, that's a hell of an experience.
Yep. And that's exactly it. We said we weren't going to mention a bunch of concerts, but recently I went to see Pearl Jam, but it was such a different experience because I'm this 45-year-old guy at the time and we're just sitting there watching the show, and it was probably a better concert, but man, did I have fun at Nine Inch Nails.
Fun. All right. Well, I will give mine. It's quite a different experience than that. And I was going to do the whole Rosie bit and circle. Well, I could mention the time I went and saw blah, 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 but no, I'll do what I said and, play it straight. this was kind of a story, or it evolved. The first time, my favorite band of all time is Counting Crows. And the first time I was going to see the Counting Crows, my buddy and I had tickets. We were going to go, I forget what theater it was in Minnesota. But I was up there and we were going to go see Counting Crows, right? And so we're in there. Everybody's sitting around waiting for the opening act to come on. They've got all the guitars, the stage is all set and everything. And the PA announcer comes on and goes, "Ladies and gentlemen, tonight's show is canceled. Adam Duritz is sick. There will be no show tonight. You will get refund information, blah, blah." And I was like, are you kidding me? I drove up from Kansas City, staying with a friend, everything just for this concert, and it got canceled. I was devastated because I'd never seen him before. So, time goes on or whatever. And, I'd gotten to see him a couple of times, and then they were coming to Kansas City, and one of the news stations had a contest where they were like, tell us why you should win Counting Crows tickets from us. And, tell us your story or whatever. So they were looking for different stories. So I told him that story. I didn't mention that I had seen the Counting Crows a couple times since then, but I told him the story about I went all the way to Minnesota. I had tickets. We were in there, the whole nine yards, and they picked me and I won Counting Crows tickets, Well, what I didn't realize is that these were like VIP tickets that I had won. And and the concert was at the Legends, which is a shopping center right next to the track and the casino, like where the, in Kansas City, Kansas, where they do the NASCAR races. So there's a big shopping center right there. They set up a stage. I don't know whose idea this was or what the promotion was or whatever, but they set up the stage in the parking lot. And it was very bizarre, and I'd never been anything like that. So it was an outdoor concert, which was really cool, right? Because, you know, it was outside, and most of the concerts I go to are indoors. So that was really cool. But yeah, the VIP tickets, we got a meet and greet with the band, and I'm like, holy crap. Like, I had no idea we were going to get to actually meet the band. So there was this Outback Steakhouse that wasn't open yet, because it was kind of, I think it was in conjunction with sort of opening this whole shopping center. So we go into this Outback Steakhouse, and there's like, and you know, I'm expecting, well, okay, yeah, we get to meet the band, but it's going to be like a long line of hundreds of people, and you're going to get 2 seconds to shake everybody's hand. And this is way before cell phones and selfies and everything. But I had this picture of the band that, you know, I was hoping to get some autographs or something. And, so I brought that with, and we get in there, and it's like, it's the Counting Crows. It's like some of their, like, either girlfriends, wives, or friends, you know, like a handful of people. And then like maybe like 8 other fans. So like, that's it. It's just like the collection of us for like 30 minutes. And I was like, wow. This is unbelievable. And so I remember standing there talking to Dave Bryson, who is just like, he's like my favorite guy. He's the best. He's just this quiet guitarist. And it was just the nicest time, because it wasn't like, you know, you had the nervous energy at first, but then after a while it was like, yeah, I'm just having a conversation with this dude. And he was just couldn't have been any nicer. The whole band, they were just so nice. Obviously everybody was mobbing Adam Duritz, and, you know, and I was just like biding my time, because we had time, you know, so just sitting there. And all of a sudden the band manager comes out. It's, you know, 20-25 minutes in. He's like, all right, band's got to go, everyone. Let's we got to get out of here and everything. And I was like, oh, we hadn't really gone up to Adam at all or said anything to him. And I was like, oh, well, and I had gotten everybody else's autograph on my picture except for Adam. And I was like, well, we got to go, because I was with my wife. I was like, yeah, we got to go. And she was like, no, we're not leaving here without Adam's signature. So she grabs my photo, marches right up to Adam. She's like, Adam, can you sign this photo for us? And he couldn't have been any nicer. You know, we didn't really get to talk to him very much, just because they were getting ready to go to the show. But yeah. So then we get to the show, and they've got this little area fenced off right in front of the stage for just the VIPs. Well, like I said, there were only about like 10 to 14 of us total. So there's like 10 to 14 people in this area that was probably 50 feet wide by like 30 feet deep. So like, you had all sorts of room. It wasn't like you were crushed in there right in front of the stage. It was absolutely an amazing experience. And yeah, I don't think it could ever be topped, you know, get to meet your favorite band and then just be right there in the VIP area. It was great. So, yeah, nothing. I don't think I could top that.
Very cool. Yeah. Music matters, man.
Absolutely. Music matters. And that is a perfect transition, Smitty, because one of the greatest moments in the history of the Power Trip is the day Meat Sauce did the Predictors Open with Bohemian Sausage. I went back and looked. I knew we had played this on a previous episode before. Episode 26. It's been that long ago. We're on 235 now. So it's been forever since we played this. And our good friend Josephine, the leader of the Fantasy Hockey League right now, she requested that we play Bohemian Sausage. So here it is in its entirety, one of the greatest moments in music history on the Power Trip.
Isn't it 40? Isn't it 33? Will he put in an effort, or not just like usually?
Wow.
Turn up the sound, or you could turn it down. We'll see.
My name is Meat Sauce. I need some sympathy, 'cause I have no hair, have new teeth, voice is sweet, low and deep. Time for the predictors, but does that really matter to me? To me.
Not bad, that was good.
it's not over?
No. Hockey!
Yeah.
Just watch some porn. Use the mouse and work it good. Punch the button, pop some wood. Hockey, your career was fun, but now I've gone and thrown it all away. Curry, ooh, I might not get this done. If I don't, can I come back this time tomorrow? Do it then, or does this bit really matter?
Is that it?
Is it over yet? Now can we finally talk about... Oh.
That's not it?
Nope.
So it is 5 minutes long.
Too late. It's predictor's time. Guards, he's here right now. If we don't, he'll have a cow. Garcy, everybody is a gopher stooge, but they're hideous and he should face the truth. Rosie,
here comes the predictors.
Put me on your show. I sometimes wish I'd never had asked at all.
Is that it?
It's awesome.
To
be done.
No. Hang on.
I see an awesome guy whose head is really large.
Meat sauce, will you do the predictors?
I have to because it's Thursday. Everybody's threatening me.
The predictors,
the predictors,
the predictors,
the predictors,
the predictors are on now.
With Corico.
My name is Meat Sauce, nobody loves me.
He's just an idiot from a rich family. Here's who's the predictor so that we all can leave.
Haven't eaten, very hungry, will you let me eat?
You fat slob, no, we will not let you eat.
Let him eat.
You fat slob, we will not let you eat.
Let him eat.
You fat slob, we will not let you eat.
Let me eat.
We'll not let you eat.
Let me eat.
We'll not let you eat.
Come on, guys, can I eat?
No, 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 no.
Oh, Tanabia, Tanabia.
Tanabia, let him eat.
Has a pizza set aside for me, for me, for me.
Oh, oh, that's
my
genius.
God.
So you think you can mock me and shorten my bit? So you think this is too long and sounds just like shit? Can't do this to me, Hockey. The predictors is on. It's coming on right away.
Not really.
I don't think it's ever coming on.
We're gonna run out of time.
The only one that matters is myself and Rosen.
Here comes the predictors.
Yes.
All right, what do you got for us this week in quotes notes?
First of all, I have to say, Bohemian Sausage is all time amazing. And, you know, about halfway through it, you're like, okay, this is just meat sauce. But then the production value kicks up and there's background singers and it just escalates and escalates. It's just, it's a masterpiece from beginning to end.
It absolutely is. And it's one of those where were you moments, because I will never forget, we were on vacation in Hawaii when this came out. And so I was, you know, podcasting the episodes and I was just like blown away. I don't know how many times I played that in Hawaii, but I still remember, like, I played golf at this one course, and driving to the golf course, it was just because Stacy had stayed back to do some shopping and I just went to go play golf by myself there. And it was about a 30-minute drive, and I probably played Bohemian Sausage, you know, 5 or 6 times the whole way there. It was epic. It's one of the most memorable moments in the history of the power trip. And yes, thank you, Josephine, for taking us back down memory lane with that one.
Absolutely. A couple other notes that I've got. The bongo bit, I am just loving the bongo bit. Every time someone accidentally hits the microphone, or when Rosie's on and he's fiddling with the microphone, and Hockey sneaks in a couple bongo, that it just makes me laugh every time. And I feel like they don't call him out on this, but I feel like Corey is more guilty of this than the other people. Not so much with the microphone, but when he slams his hands down on the desk in front of him, and it's that same bongo, and I don't think they call him out on it as much as they should.
They don't. I will tell you that one of my favorite bits of all time is when, you know, either sarcastically or really, when Superstar used to get mad, he would do like somebody, like especially if somebody brought up food or something, you'd hear that in the background, and Superstar just slamming his hand on the desk because he was so mad that he couldn't eat. It's a brilliant bit. I can't wait to get back into. I haven't seen these new microphones yet because they've gotten them since the last time I was there. So it'll be interesting to see how all that works.
Yeah, absolutely. And then my only other note is I think it was sometime last week, all of a sudden they started talking about calculators, which of course is, you know, right in my wheelhouse. But Meat Sauce mentioned this game called Drug Wars, and they were like, what are you talking about? But I definitely remember this, not from when I was in school, but when I first started teaching, kids had these graphing calculators. And so they would share these different programs. And one of them was this game called Drug Wars, which was actually a pretty cool supply and demand kind of a thing. In fact, I tried to go in and edit the program to make it more school appropriate, but it was like, you know, the meth house has been raided by the police, so the price of meth goes through the roof. And so you had to decide if you were going to buy and sell, and when you would hold on to your cocaine, and when do you sell your cocaine. And it was actually a really well designed game, but it was like archived or something like that. So I couldn't edit it and change it to make it, you know, I could have passed it off to one of the econ teachers and they could have really used it. But Corey mentioned, with these calculators these days, you've got these big clunky $120 calculators that don't really do anything better than they did 20, 30 years ago. And he asked, you know, why don't they have an app for this? And of course they do have apps. There's a great graphing calculator app called Desmos that it's totally free. It's way more powerful than a TI-85 calculator or whatever was back in the day. The problem is it's on your phone. And of course, if you're taking the ACT, you can't be on your phone. And so they're starting to make steps, and there's different protections that they have for it. But man, the calculator discussion really hit home with me. So it was fun for me. Fun for me anyway. I don't know if you got anything out of that one.
No, it was, it took me back to the days, you know, the last calculator I remember having is in college, because I was a finance major. And so we had like the financial calculators to calculate present value and all that stuff. And that was definitely hit home with me from that. I totally missed out on like the whole Drug Wars thing. I'm like, that would have been amazing. Or they could do something now with like tied into sports betting or whatever. It's like, hey, the line, you know, the line to open the game was, you know, Rutgers +5.5. But now Rutgers gave up a touchdown on their first drive, and the line is now 8.5. Do you bet Rutgers? You know, so many practical applications: meth, cocaine, gambling.
Absolutely, the high school meth classroom is always changing.
For sure.
Any notes from you, Betts?
Yeah, I just got two. First up, you mentioned it already, the double or nothing thing, where a 2-year bet all of a sudden in 5 minutes becomes a double or nothing bet. And yeah, they just kind of wipe away the whole 2 years worth of betting. And double or nothing is the perfect example. Like, one of the telltale signs of a gambling addiction is chasing losses. Double or nothing is the epitome of chasing losses, because you're like, hey, I just lost. I'm going to hurry up and turn around. Because I think in the mindset of the person offering the double or nothing bet, it's like, I can immediately wipe this away. And they just impulsively bet on almost anything, assuming that they're going to win, because it's like, well, I lost last time, I got to be due. And of course, like we said, probability has no memory. So yeah, it struck me as funny. I always love whenever somebody's like, well, double or nothing. It's like, yes, just ultimate impulsivity on that. So that cracked me up. The other note I had was, it's a little bit old, but the charge challenge for 2024, Zach's getting ready to pay that off with his cross-country drive. What I love so much is how adamant Corey has been like the last few years about no sponsors. You can't make money off this. Absolutely no sponsors whatsoever. Then Zach blatantly flouts those rules by publishing on Twitter, like, the opportunity to have patches on his car, like a race car, going across country, you know, asking anybody for sponsorships, everything. He's putting that all together. I just love how he just flaunted those rules like that. And God bless it. You know, hey, props to Zach. I hope he makes a fortune off of this. I just think it's so funny how adamant Corey gets about, like, absolutely no sponsors and makes a big deal out of it. And then Zach's just like, yeah, we're not doing that.
Yeah, that's coming up. We got, another month and a half before that happens?
Yeah, it's like the end of May is when that starts. So, yes, good luck to Zach. And hopefully that car is just littered with stickers from sponsors. So good on him to do that. And it'll be funny to see if sponsors are brought up again. Now, what I really hope happens is next year, you know, like, Hawk loses again, and then Hawk goes out and, like, lands a bunch of sponsors, and Corey gets mad about it because now Hockey's landing all these sponsors and getting it all paid for. That'd be great. All right. Well, let's do a little bit of joke news. I think you've got one. I've got a couple. So I guess I'll go first, and we'll kind of, you can be the sandwich in the middle. So I'm going to start with this one. Let's go all the way over to Cambodia. Cambodian Prime Minister Hun Manet has ordered a ban on musical horns after videos posted on social media showed people dancing on roads and roadsides as passing trucks blasted rhythmic little tunes. Manet called on the Ministry of Public Works and Transportation and police across the country to immediately take action against any vehicle whose normal horn has been replaced by a tune-playing one by ripping it out and restoring the standard honking type. That's right, folks. Silos is now banned in Cambodia.
That's a travesty. I can't believe it.
I tell you, I can just picture all the Cambodians driving around going, silos!
Do they have silos in Cambodia?
Oh, you gotta have silos. Where else are you gonna put your grain?
All right, well, moving to domestic news, a tennis match was delayed for nearly 2 hours by bees in a tournament in California. The actual match lasted less time than the delay that was caused, resulting from dozens of bees around the court. When asked to comment, Chris Hockey said, "Well, that's kind of surprising. I wouldn't expect a delay that long for anything smaller than double D's."
Yeah, you got me there. I didn't have any idea where that was going. So. That's brilliant. All right, last one. A Swedish landowner won a legal battle Thursday and was awarded a 31-pound meteorite that fell on his property but was later taken by two geologists. An appeals court ruled that such rocks should be considered immovable objects and part of the land where they are found. This overturned a lower court ruling, which had declared that since it was an unstoppable force versus immovable object case, the meteorite was awarded to gravity.
That's the best bit. It's been a while since they've done that, and I think they mentioned it at some point, and I thought, ooh, they're going for gravity, but I don't think they did it.
It's so brilliant. I love that every time. Same answer every time, too, out of sauce. Gravity.
He's not wrong.
He is not wrong at all. All right. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode. I was going to quickly preview next week's episode because we got a big show next week with a couple events that are coming up. Obviously, Vegas is happening. I'm unfortunately not able to go, but we'll do a little Vegas preview, Smitty, because you're going to go, and we know a lot of listeners are going to be out there having a great time out in Vegas. So we'll do a little Vegas preview, and the solar eclipse is coming up on April, what is it, April 8th, I believe, is the solar eclipse. So we're going to have our show right before that. I think it's April 6th, our April 6th show. We are going to revisit, we're going to go down memory lane to when Zach attended the 2017 solar eclipse. So we'll kind of relive a little bit of when Zach attended that. So that's coming up on the next episode. So a couple milestones there for us to dig into. All right. Well, that will
be fun. I can't wait.
Absolutely. All right. Well, in the meantime, somebody, where can they find you at?
Well, as always, if you're looking for bad photoshopping and other power trip wit, at Smitty on Twitter. Otherwise, if you're just looking for quotes content, at Power Trip Quotes, also on Twitter.
All right. I'm, of course, at Power Trip Bets, PT Bets on Instagram, and at Power Trip Bets on TikTok. TikTok is really dry. Nothing I'm confident in, probably until the NHL playoffs. So we'll see. You can always follow me there in the meantime. All right. Thanks for listening, guys. Appreciate it. And we will talk to you in 2 weeks.
Have a great weekend. Bye-bye now.